It's interesting, since we began this shiur last week, the whole world has changed for abortion.
Not yet.
It's definitely taken a step towards the forefront of the national discussion. We were discussing last time we began our discussion with the very odd case of Fanconi's anemia, that if you have a situation where there is a child that requires a stem cell transplant in order to be saved, and the family is trying to create another child that the cord blood could be used to save the current sick child. So we were discussing in that case, is there any problem with it? Medical ethicists at the time were upset over it, and one of the major reasons they were upset, we'll discuss other reasons, is because, well, what will happen if the child is 5 years old, the wife is 4 months pregnant, and now we've reached a point where we don't have more time to wait. It's either we're going to do the transplant now, or the older child is not going to make it. The concern is that there will be undue pressure on the mother to abort her current child in order to save her second child. And we said in order to discuss that, we wanted to figure out, well, what if it actually happened? Obviously, their concern is further removed, but let's go for the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is that, yes, the child is that ill. Yes, she is that pregnant. Can she have an abortion? Would that be allowed? Would it be encouraged? Would it be us, or what would it be? And we began the discussion by trying to figure out abortion in a normal case. What issue is involved? Is that, and we saw there was a wide spectrum. There were opinions out there that said, at least on the Torah level, it is in fact mutter, as if going to as far as the other side is saying that it's actually considered murder. I wanted to start off today, given the events of the past week or so, with Rav Moshe Feinstein's discussion. And it's interesting, in his first tshuva on the topic of abortion, which he writes, Sukkos Tav Shin Lamed Zayin. Sukkos Tav Shin Lamed Zayin is what year? 1976, right? Roe versus Wade is 73, I believe.
Yes.
So again, this is, obviously this becomes a much more relevant shiloh with Roe versus Wade. And with that, his son-in-law, Rav Tendler, wants to know when, if ever, this would be allowed. In the last paragraph of the tshuva, Rav Moshe writes as follows. It's a relatively long tshuva, definitely by Rav Moshe standards. And he writes as follows. Ksafti kol ozeh le'inyin ha'pirtza gedola b'olam shamachis. He said, I'm writing this because all of a sudden many countries are allowing people to kill fetuses. Not only is it legal in many countries, it's even in Israel, and many, many fetuses have been killed. There's a need to stop this. Rav Moshe was of the opinion, very much so, that in fact this was murder. And therefore he said coming up with kulos, coming up with leniencies in the area of murder is not something we should be trying to do. He said, and therefore I was shocked to see a tshuva that was written to the Menahel, executive director of the hospital Shaarei Tzedek in Israel. He said, I was shocked to say that even after 3 months of pregnancy, they would allow an abortion in the case of a Tay-Sax baby. And that was based on the fact that there are opinions out there, many of them that hold it's only rabbinic. He And he writes and he says that the whole reason is it's nothing to do with murder. But Moshe, of course, gets very upset about this. And Reb Moshe, of course, in responding to Roe versus Wade, etc., is very serious that, in his opinion, we are talking about murder. Abortion is no less than murder, which is the most radical approach to say that.
Stun murder all the way through, any week, number of weeks doesn't matter.
So again, he just says murder. Now, regarding the number of weeks, so we had began that well last time. I'm going to repeat the last two sources about the 40 days and go back to that. We saw at the very end last time, it's number two on the sheet this time, that there is a concept that before 40 days after conception, the fetus, the embryo, is considered maya ba'alma. It doesn't have the status of a person. It's something less than that. And we saw that that was the reason why a woman who was a bas kohen, who loses her husband one way or another, is allowed to eat truma right after she receives her get or right after the fellow dies. Why? Because she could be that she's not pregnant. Even if she is pregnant, it's so early on that she doesn't know about it. Maya ba'alma. And based on that, we also did number three. That's also repeated. This 3 days. It says based on that, that any problem of abortion only begins at 40 days. Prior to 40 days, it's not a problem. I should note that 40 days of pregnancy is not what the doctors call 40 days of pregnancy. Right? 40 days of pregnancy, la halacha, is 40 days after conception. When they tell you how many weeks pregnant you are, they start counting approximately 2 weeks earlier. From the first day of the last period. Right? In the typical 28-day period, right, the woman does not ovulate until 2 weeks into it. And therefore, when we talk about how pregnant she is, right, it's on average, shall we say, about 2 weeks less than what they say in that the doctors count. So therefore, when we talk about 40 days pregnant, how many weeks is that? It's probably around 8 weeks. Because again, 42 would be 6 weeks, plus you get the other 2 weeks because we're counting differently than they are. Logically, our counting makes more sense, right?
Because they go into the 10th month.
Well, starting from the LMP, the last menstrual period, doesn't make sense.
Correct. Right. Meaning, again, we make more sense. Right? We're aiming for the actual number. So therefore, remember that 40 days is actually longer than it seems. So that's the opinion of the 3 days. The 3 days would say that up until approximately 8 weeks of pregnancy, what we colloquially call 8 weeks, he would allow an abortion without question. Yes?
What if the woman actually knows, you know, she keeps track?
Yeah.
And she knows when she got pregnant.
Okay, great.
I mean, do we count from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely we do, right? They don't, but
we
do.
I'm saying
And even if we don't know, so we usually count from the mikveh night, which is more exact. It might not be exactly exact, but it's more exact. Reb Moshe Feinstein does not accept this 40-day idea. Nearly Nachum Ashkenazov HaGaon, Reb Unterman, former chief of Isser Unterman, was Isser Yehuda Unterman, was a former chief rabbi of Israel, and he writes from the Hayazek Kodem Arbim Yom v'Chomer Yisrael miben Noach to be Kodem Arbim Yom she'afzir Yisrael aser. Reb Moshe writes that maybe if by Ben Noach there's a difference. But Reb Moshe, again, this is part of a much longer tshuva, writes that there is no difference. Prior to 40 days is the same. Now, Reb Moshe Feinstein now has made two very strong statements. One, abortion is murder. Two, at any stage it's murder. If you put these two together, you end up with Reb Moshe Feinstein having an opinion about stem cell research. According to this, right, that even if you have a blastocyst, if you have an embryo that's frozen at 3 days, 5 days, etc., that's considered life. And put that together with it is murder, right? So therefore, you actually could end up with the shita of the Pope, meaning that stem cell research is murder. It does not have to be so. Correct. Again, stem cells that you're taking out of a cord or adult stem cells, obviously this does not apply to. And I think a Pope would agree with that as well. I haven't asked him recently, but I think that he's Makel in those cases as well. So that doesn't have to be true, though. It could very well be that a 3-day, 5-day-old embryo inside a mother, if you stop that, is considered murder. However, if one is not in vivo, but rather it's frozen in a freezer, it's cryopreserved, one could make an argument that's not the same. The difference is if you stop a pregnancy, even a very early pregnancy, you are potentially stopping life, as opposed to if this is already in the freezer, if I did nothing, it wouldn't turn into a baby. I will note that that might be a logical approach. Rabbi Bleich does not agree with it. Yes?
It has to be an embryo before it goes in the freezer.
Correct.
I put it in the thing, and then, so even from the point of...
Well, it's a blastocyst. I mean, it's...
No, whatever. It's 3 days, 5 days.
We're talking about fertilization now.
Right, so again, but you have to remember, this embryo was never in a mother.
But what difference does that make?
It makes a big difference because, again, if you remove it from the mother and then freeze it, you could say, well, either the removal was problematic or whatever I did afterwards. However, if this was created outside of the mother, this never really had reached the point where it has potential to become life. Until it gets implanted in a mother, which may or may not be successful. What?
It just seems that seems very small.
Not in my mind.
Okay.
Again, you must be. It seems that you're much more of a fundamentalist than me. You're very radical in your role. That you think that that's even problematic.
I'm just going by way that Rabbi Feinstein would go. He'd say that once fertilization happens, that would be life.
No, because again, it takes more to make a baby than to fertilize an egg.
Yes, that's true.
You need to fertilize an egg, and you have to implant it in a uterus of some sort. And this has never had that step. In my mind, that's a big difference. Again, not everybody agrees with me, but again, that's not our topic. But again, once these two opinions of Reb Moshe, the opinion that under 40 days doesn't make a difference, plus abortion is murder, that is the basis for arguing against stem cell research.
But would he, would he then say if it's done outside the uterus?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Again, when did stem cell research start?
I don't remember.
IVF only started in the late 70s, right? Moshe died in the early 80s, right? You needed to have IVF to begin. It was close at best that this ever came up.
Just for the non-medical, what period of time do they usually put this embryo in the woman?
They put it in the woman, I believe, nowadays after 5 days. Right? They used to do it after 3 days, right? Because they used to do it when it was just an embryo, but now they wait till it's a blastocyst, which I think is 5 days.
So it's pretty quick.
It's a long time to leave the milk outside the fridge. It depends what you're.
Two hairs on the head is very little. Two hairs in the milk is way too many.
Deep thoughts.
So the multiplication
term that describes the number of
cells.
It's
just a little ball of cells.
It's like
16. Blessed is like 100, I think.
Okay, that's what
it's going.
Also, checking them to see which you're going to implant. And
well, yeah, this is where it becomes a little bit more of an art than a science,
right.
I believe. I think
right.
This is where it gets.
So the potential doesn't matter.
According
to? The potential that this in vitro created embryo could be implanted and then could become a fetus.
That doesn't make it
so that's a potential. That's something that could happen.
Well, again, but
you don't have to.
Well, again, you know, a 6 month pregnancy could also call potential. Right?
That's kind of along the way.
Right, I'm saying is that there's different levels of potential, right?
Yes.
Right? A fertile couple lives together, that's potential also, but it's a far trip to get to a child.
But do you already have something?
I have something, right? I have something, right. But my something, you know.
Just asking.
Right. So, yeah, but that's not our topic, actually. It's an important topic, but it's not our topic. Right? So again, besides the machlokes regarding the issue of what is the status of abortion, what, if any, isser is involved, you have the second machlokes about does before 40 days make a difference. Third machlokes that's relevant. Rav Avadya Yosef, in his Yabia Omer, has another interesting idea, which is kind of important nowadays. And there was a New York Times article about this today. They didn't mention Rav Avadya, where he says as follows. He says, he quotes from the Mahari Ayish, the Shut Beis Yehuda. This is a case of a woman who is nursing, who becomes pregnant again, and therefore, for the sake of the living child, they would like to stop the pregnancy. And the question is, can they do it not through mechanically, a doctor going in there, but rather drinking something?
Chemically.
Medicinally. Well, fi ani zdaiti ad kamo kosav beis yudi deharigas uber ein iser el midir abanan el kshem apil edei shtiyas sam da'avrei ke'en groma ba'alma. So he says that there is a difference, that all the people who say that there is an iser daraisa, that's if mechanically you stop it, you do something. But here, if you drink something and that drink will cause the woman to abort, he thinks that that's groma, that's less of a problem. This is what we call Fregnus Akasha Afamaisa. I don't know who these people are. I don't know why they couldn't get milk. I don't know. But that was the case.
It's something to have the mother's milk.
Yeah,
but
still.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me.
I never had it.
But would you kill someone over it?
No.
Okay, good. So that's Jenny's questions. That is the opinion of Rav Avadya Yosef. Again, this is a matter of Machokes. The Nishmas Avram, which we will quote several times, this is the Rabbi Avram Steinberg, who is on the list, I believe, of the Mizrahi speakers. Right? Kosav li hagon rishleim azalman orbach zasal tzorech iim ze isu min ha-Torah minayin gudigroma mutter min ha-Torah. Hare groma rak potter ava loshe mutter lechachiro kmo b'mamon groma b'nezikin osur min ha-Torah. So again, he's of the opinion that even if you tell me this is grumma, this is not doing something be a dime, he thinks it's still usher. Now, if I take Rav Avadya and I put Rav Avadya together with the three deish, I was just matir the morning after pill. Right? The morning after pill is something that's done chemically, and it's something that's working on something that's less than 40 days old. So in the event that I hold that under 40 days is nothing, right, and I'm doing it through the morning after pill, you put that together and that would likely be mutter. To go one step further, the morning after pill is a suffix. Right? No one knows the morning after that they're pregnant. Right? The morning after pill is that there is a possibility. So one would imagine that if we want to talk about whether the morning after pill is mutter, these are all relevant pieces. If you
she'd
put
have
the
to
right
stop nursing though.
What?
She'd have to stop nursing.
I'm not talking about the nursing case. I'm saying in general, if a woman, for whatever reason, right, let's say the woman's not married and she has a reason to suspect she might be pregnant, right? So the question is, can you just take the morning after pill to be safe? And again, if you follow Rav Avadya, that's only considered grumma. If you follow the Sri Deish, it's within 40 days. And particularly when you also consider the possibility that that she might not even be pregnant at this point.
Right.
Right?
She doesn't know.
Right. And the rocket's red glare.
Now, right? Does it take from conception to
9 months.
No. From conception to knowing or having proof that the woman is it through blood, a blood test?
Depends on how you check.
Right, depends on how you check. It's a few days.
Check.
If you kill a rabbit, for example.
Well, they used to do with urine, and then they did it with maybe blood, test your blood.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the doctor or the facility how they do it now or what?
You can do it at
home. Can do it at home. You can do an early pregnancy test.
Right.
By urine.
Well,
I think nowadays the early pregnancy is 9 days, approximately.
Something like that.
Right?
Turning to a certain women feel differently away.
You can know within 9 or 10 days after conception.
For sure, and I assume a blood test is even earlier than that.
Okay.
I think a sensitive blood test can be even earlier. Okay, so these are the basic ground rules. Now, interesting question. If you tell me that that's Grumma, the Nishmas Avram has a very interesting question. Let's say there's a woman who's not particularly interested in being pregnant, and the doctor tells her that she requires bed rest. Is she allowed to start doing jumping jacks?
What?
Right. So the question is, would you go if so Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who's not excited about Grumma, but do I have to listen to doctor's orders? Can I just go about I understand I can't take the morning
your
after
advice, but I'm doing something else.
Right? So an interesting question looking at the Nishmas Avram number 7. Ligrom Lahapala, to induce a miscarriage. She saw blood, and the doctor says you require a blood dress. She's not listening to him. Let's say she's concerned that the child is an imperfect child that has certain types of born with deformities, for example. Could she go about and say, well, I'm not going to go out of my way to save this child? Maybe she's already got more kids than she wants. Unfortunately, Rav Neuwirth is no longer a shlita. Neuwirth passed away 5 years ago. Neuwirth is the one who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos. He writes as follows: Shabaru Pasha also lasos kein el adarabo lasos kol mashenita no lechadik rahamshik beherayon. Rav Neuwirth was one of the top students of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and as such, he followed in this way that even Grumma would also be problematic. I'd like to spend some time today going through the cases where the questions are brought up most often regarding abortion. The first one is a Tzitz Eliezer. Hafsaka seron biglal hamacha nikras tesaks. Kashim avchanim es hamacha beuber ka'over shosh chadash meherayon. So at the time that this tshuva was written, they were able to test for tesaks at 3 months. What if they test for tesaks and they find out that unfortunately, yes, there is a tesaks baby? Are you allowed to abort at that late date?
You mean before the baby's born, we can now know that. Oh, yeah.
Correct. Again, this is 3 months of pregnancy.
Sorry.
So he writes, I gave you a lot of the tshuva because it's very fascinating. Hinei achrei ha'iyun b'davar b'chovid rosh. I don't know why I took this kind of seriously, but cold study I know and soon she will buy a mural. If Nero feels I all you saw the birum her nerchavim, she goes off the Padara have suckles her royal, the saver should sit so he is a chair test. I'll show she broke my ruchim. I wrote very about this at length. Look it up there. Kisha Mikra, I'm Yucher Azer, I shall tell to out Koach, Koch, Hamuros, the Knuff of Im Hamshachas Heron Valeda. After I've seen the Hatir have suckles Heron, add Shiva Chadoshim. radical statement. He said, given the terrible issues that come along with the Tay-Sachs baby, he would allow there to be an abortion up until 7 months.
Where does that number come from?
So again, assuming that there's no danger to the mother in it. After that, it's more chamor. Now, he doesn't hear shemalos zayin chadashin, but kvar havlad v'harbe mikrim lidei gamro. The idea is as follows. The way he came up with 7 months likely is as follows, is because the Gemara tells us that a child can be born at 7 months or at 9 months. So therefore, once you hit 7 months, the child could come out already. So that's probably why he doesn't spell it out, but that's what it sounds like.
Well, at that age, they can survive nowadays.
They can survive much earlier nowadays. I guess 28 weeks, 26 weeks.
Even 24.
Right.
Even 24 weeks.
Again, we have a case in our shul. Somebody who was at Maariv tonight, who was born very, very early. And thank God he's doing well. He's a father. So. Yeah. So again, to say that you allow an abortion up to the 7th month, that's a very, very radical statement. First things first, he says, this isn't murder. Not only that, he said, there are many, many people who say, midoraisa, the whole thing's allowed. Ohu raki mishum geder beinenu binyano shel olam aval machmas ibu nefashos ein nidnut kol. So there's no possibility whatsoever that this is murder. Totally rejects that idea.
And that's because it's a Tay-Sachs baby?
What? No. All cases
all
of...
All cases.
Right, so Tzitz Eliezer radically says...
Very different. Okay.
And that, awesome. Next paragraph, ube kazos yoser mizos. Now this is a case we'll discuss later on. The Sheilos Yavetz is a fascinating case. A woman is pregnant with a mamzer. The Tzitz Eliezer says it's a mitzvah to abort in that case. We'll have to discuss that. That's right? That's very radical. Because and in order to back himself up, he says the whole thing's really not problematic. And most it's through Rabbanon. And here, the embarrassment to the mother is reason enough. So again, if you're going to allow for the embarrassment of a mamzer, you know what it takes out of parents to have a Tay-Sachs baby. Vim kein hageba atzmacha. Could there be a worse case than this? The whole thing's going to be a disaster. So therefore, he goes into the very radical point of saying he would allow an abortion up until the 7th month without question. And he doesn't even say usur afterwards. He says after that, you'd have to really think hard. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a response to it in number 9. And you wouldn't be surprised that he wasn't happy about it.
He would not be happy about that.
So his question is the step before that. Are you allowed to do a test to see whether or not it's a Tay-Sachs baby, is his question. Are you allowed to take some of the amniotic fluid and test it for the disease?
Well, today you have CBS.
He probably had CBS then also.
They have a special sensor.
Yeah, CBS is much earlier. Right? That's the big plus of CBS.
CBS is earlier and it's
safer. Right, CBS is between 7 and 8 weeks.
And it's safer.
Right, correct.
What's CBS?
You take your blood.
Chorionic villus sampling.
It's like a biopsy.
Of what? The amniotic fluid? I mean,
no.
It's different.
Basically, placental tissue.
Ah, okay.
Mm. Right. Now, again, CBS, right, it's safer. That's point number one. And point number two, you're going to get it under the 40 days, probably. Yeah. So Rav Moshe talks about, but this is probably amnio, which is later on.
Later and riskier.
Correct. So he starts off saying, since it is, hey, it's murder. Let's get back to that. Right? What's he talking about? A baby who's going to live a short time will be sick the entire time. That very much sounds like Tay Sachs he's referring to. I say, even if I find that out, I still can't do anything about it, Ramosha says. He'll have no intellectual ability. And the mother won't be able to handle it. Maybe the mother will become sick over this. There's no way you can kill this child. There's no difference between aborting a healthy child, potentially healthy potential child, and this child.
What about an anencephalic baby?
They don't survive, though.
I understand.
They just die.
Well, but you go through that whole pregnancy and then let it die.
Mom doesn't want to go through a whole pregnancy just to deliver an anencephalic baby that's going to die. So, may want to abort an anencephalic baby.
When you know.
By some arguments, you could say it's not alive.
Right, you're saying that this child will never be alive.
Right.
It's like carrying a stillborn. Make an argument. Okay. I was thinking about it. I didn't put it on. Let's finish it with Moshe. If you want to look it up in the English Rabbi Steinberg book, the 3-volume one, he has about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Find that one also. Next one is, they're not 100% correct when they do these tests. He said, but then again, it doesn't really matter because even if you found out. So Rav Moshe is very clear that there's
no across the board.
Right? This child has a right to live. Don't bother testing what the situation is with the child because it's not going to make a difference. In number 10, the Tzitz Eliezer responds to Rav Moshe. So again, if you look, number 8 was volume 13. This is volume 14. He says, again, also unfortunately not a shlita anymore. I read his tshuva 2-3 times. Has a long response. In the end says, he says, based on Ramah, I don't back down. And I still allow it till the 7th month. So they were both well aware of each other's opinion, and they agreed to disagree, shall we say. So again, he's saying that up until the 7th month. Up until the 7th month.
Oh, up. Well, it's silly.
Right, right. It's a very radical statement.
So what do? They kill the baby in the mother first. So
It's gruesome.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There isn't a simple little snuff out.
It's 6 months old.
I
don't think it would be a simple.
Well, I mean, how do they use a chemical on the baby?
You can look it up afterwards. Yeah. Moving right along. Again,
huh? It's not a good situation, Marshall.
Yeah.
Sure,
we don't recommend it.
Right. But
the
I was wondering how they
the Nishmas Avram is talking about CVS. Lachrona b'mechar shal shmona v'shtayim nashim de datiyim v'heryon ha-bedika nasa b'shuva 7-8 shal heryonam nayin lefnei yom arbaim leheryonam 5% minam dokim hipilu ad should be 28. Shua, sorry. I forgot to flip that one. these were actually elephants. Snakes.
Whales.
Snakes, right? Snakes, we say, have an 84-month...
Really? Snakes?
the same. I don't know. I've never had a conversation with it. So he says, so he talks about that. He talks about what are the dangers involved. So he said, at the end, he says, by this point, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that Rav Moshe was right, and he was not allowing an abortion for a Tesach paper. He said, and therefore, no sense in checking. So Shlomo Zalman says he's going to be machmir like Rav Moshe, but not all the way. Meaning that in the event that it's within 40 days, then he would allow it. I spent 5 years in Rav Shechter's shir, and I remember him being called out of shir one time. And afterwards, it became clear that that's what was going on. There was a woman who was right there, seventh, eighth week, who had just undergone a test and had gotten bad news and wanted to know, she needed to know right now, could she abort? So, you were there?
Well, based on this.
So, again, he's not Rav Shlomo Zalman
Orbach. Sorry, wrong guy.
Right? So,
sorry.
So based on, so again, if to the extent that you accept the 40 days, that's definitely something that could be considered. Unfortunately, I was present when a shiloh was raised recently about this, about a couple that, actually, we'll hold off a second because it's the next topic, a Down syndrome baby, which is also a common question. Yes?
I know there's no easy answer to this, but emotionally, but if Hashem creates a world where this was to happen to us for a moment, or do we have the right to then choose to go against what Hashem is doing? Meaning,
so again, Hashem gives you cancer. Do you have a right to cure it?
No, you have a right to cure it.
So why is this different?
Because I think it cures. You're getting rid of it.
Rap or your rapi?
My point is, I'm not going through the process and then deal with it versus getting rid of it.
I think that if somebody has a growth, we get rid of that, right? I think there's no mitzvah to keep it. I would argue there's an avera to keep it.
Would you translate that expression?
Mitzvah?
Arapaho.
Rap from Arapaho. It is a pasuk in Mishpatim. Says, Rapo, you shall surely cure. So the Talmud comments that I might have thought that you're not allowed to cure because you're going against the will of God. So the fact that it says those words in the Chumash, that gives the physicians the right to cure. So this is the story of, so Rav Shlomo Zalman, again, Rav Moshe, even in the case of Tesach, will not allow, and the Tzitz Eliezer very much will allow in that case. Let's take a step down, the case of a Down syndrome baby, which is a less serious case. Again, Down syndrome baby will have a longer life. Obviously, the Down syndrome baby will have limitations. Obviously, the Down syndrome will have also will be a burden on the parents, but not quite the same level, right? If a person finds out early enough, would you be allowed to stop that? Tzitz Eliezer.
What number are you on?
12. Odos bedikas mehashfir kedei legalos b'mikrishel mongoloidism.
That's what they used to say.
Eitzel Huber. Hefzak hiram b'mikrim hanal. So again, we're talking about Down syndrome. Bisikum. Aleph. Mutu l'aruch bedikas hibitim l'hafzakas herayon k'menila p'hi gersha. One, you're allowed to do amnio. You're allowed to test for it. Two, b'mikra shabedikar mara b'bitachon al uba mangoli, yesh rekabel heter shal rab musmach b'tzias pura shalafsakas hirayon. You can talk to a rabbi who could potentially give you a heter. Makom miyuch gimel nosav lahoras heter hazeh yesh nekashay yuchul b'tzias hafsakas hirayon ayidei shtias before ozrika zrika. Next, we can be more makel if you can do it through a pill or through a shot. David, no,
sorry, did you say a shunt?
Shot. Of course, the woman has to agree also. But so does the husband. They both have to be on board. So he says that. So this is, again, this is far. He's far less permissive. He doesn't talk about how late he would allow you to do this. But there are circumstances where he would allow it, but definitely not the way he would allow you to abort a Tay-Sachs baby. If you look at the Nishmas Avram, again, the numbers are flipped. He says, look at what Rav Shlomo Zalman said earlier. And again, meaning that Rav Shlomo Zalman would be Mekel, in this case, he thinks, under 40 days. The next case is one from the Rav Holm. The Rav Holm is the Ben Ish Chai, who asks about a woman who is pregnant, a woman with a child from someone other than her husband. Is she allowed to abort? It's a very interesting tshuva. We'll just say it outside quickly, where he says, I'm not going to offer an opinion here. He says, I'm just going to quote what other people say about it, and that's it. Again, on the one hand, as we mentioned, the second paragraph is of Yaakov Emdin, where he radically seems to be saying that not only is it allowed, but maybe it's something that would be a very good idea. Go for it. Mitzvah nami b'ze. So that's.
Is he saying that it's a mitzvah?
He is saying that it is a mitzvah.
Is that anything to do with the fact that you're not married? Does it make a difference if the woman's not married?
So that's the next line.
Next line.
She's not married. That's the next line. It said, Rapa Pnuya Shizinsa Vinisabra Ika Isura Lahashkis Uber Shalah, Kemishi Eno Chayevis Misibis Nushalah. Koshim Uber the Osir Lahashkiso, Varaka Hashkoso, Ein. So, in that case.
Wait, what did it say?
Well, he said that in the event that it's just a matter that the child was born out of wedlock, but right. The child won't be a mamzer, then he's not as willing to do it.
He doesn't get a return period.
What? No, not at all. Moving to a more recent, Rav Yoshev has a tshuva, and Rav Yoshev's tshuva, other people talk about it, particularly like Rav Yoshev's, because it's a very practical thing. There is an organization, I'm sure many people heard of it, called Efrat Crib. Mm-hmm. Right? What do they do? What? Very good. They try to prevent abortion. So someone said, why do you think these people are having abortions? These are mamzerim, these are children being born. These are people we want out of the gene pool. So the Rashi has died to benid on the Aron, hainu b'miskeret pilas agudas Efrat, morgasha kayamas his taigus mesuyemes bekerav chalakim min atzibur hacharedim afilim mepilazu. That there are certain people in the Haredi community that are opposed to Efrat, but taina ki v'hashbas agudas Efrat b'siyu ashi moshitel mishpachos kalkalis kago nashim lo nasuas be'erayon b'nei kohen migrusha b'nei nida v'chadoma he misayes b'vashi lo'im lo k'sherim lo'olam. So actually, the head of the organization, Dr. Schussheim, sent in the shalot to Rav Shlomo Zalman over, and to Rav Yashiv, sorry. And he writes that clearly, in his opinion, that this is a wonderful tzedakah. Of course you have to save them. What even all the things you listed, all those kids have to be saved. So he makes it very clear that absolutely 100% you need to support this organization, which is very much against the Yavetz. One last point,
Excuse me.
Yes.
Does that mean Tay-Sachs downs everybody?
No. It means anybody that has a halachic problem is what he's talking about.
Got it.
Okay.
So the next one is a rape case. How do you like that?
Thank you.
I actually... Well, I mean, she wrote it.
Read ahead.
So, anyhow, the all these cases that I was focusing on today were specifically cases where we're doing it because of the child. The child has Downs. The child has Tay-Sachs. The child is a mamzer, etc. Which is why the last one doesn't really fit in, right? Next, we've got to talk about situations regarding the mother. And then from there, hopefully, once we have everything down, we can reconsider our case. Maybe we'll get it in next week. Maybe it'll be the week after. But because I had a feeling someone was going to ask this, I added the last one. Thank you, Jenny. So, Ones, case of rape. So, Nishras Avram writes, Nitan hayom limnor heron achrei tashris ayde kadurim o hachnosas miskan letoch rachem rachme v'nitan la'asol zeh b'hatzlacha b'rov ha'mikrim ad kishivim v'shtayim shalos achrei tashmish. But you can take the morning after pill for the next 3 mornings. Mistavish of Mikra Ones ye mutter linkot be'echmed rachem eru ki ein medubar kan al apol ela al hashchosas zera. The haynu menias hisht rashus shal beitzos toch harechem. In the cases where we're talking about here, where you're just stopping the embryo potentially from implanting, but you're not actually destroying an embryo because no embryo has been created. He thinks that's fine. V'hiskim iti hagon reshlomo zalman orbach zatzal moiv rabbi harav noivet shrita. Well, fortunately, it's also zatzal. So in the event, so he says clearly the morning after pill in the case of rape is allowed. Now, again, he doesn't talk about the morning after pill in cases that don't involve rape. He doesn't talk about abortion in the case of rape. But at least this much is spoken about and is allowed. Okay.
In regards to emotion, would never allow it, period.
I don't know. So again, it's hard. I don't know what Ramosha would hold about the morning after pill. Ramosha never saw the morning after pill.
Right.
Saying,
but
right. So
according to his tshuva.
So again, yeah, up in, it's less than 40 days. It doesn't bother him. It's murder, but it's not yet an embryo, right? It right. And again, and even that, it's a suffix. We don't know if she's pregnant the morning after. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know what Rav Moshe would say.
I would think he'd say no.
Because he said no to everything else.
He's been very clear across the board.
Yeah, he's been clear.
I don't know. I would not impute that.
Implantation is not the same as...
It's not that. You don't even know if there's something that's potentially implanting.
Right.
Is there any basic point of halacha that these people disagree on to produce such... Why?
Yeah. Yes, there is. We discussed it. Is abortion murder or is it not murder?
No, what I mean is, why do they say whether it isn't or is?
So last time we discussed this, that there are minimal amount of sources, right? So for example, we know as far as a non-Jew is concerned, it's murder, right? So do we assume, okay, so therefore it's murder for us as well? Or for some reason, for them it isn't, us it isn't, right? There's the Tosfos who seems to say that it's okay. Right? Again, as we said, in the Chumash, there's barely a mention of it. Right? In the Gemara, we have only a few cases which talk about it, you know, from this, what about the case of a non-Jew? What's going to be if, right? There's nothing that directly talks about it. And because of that, because you have to somehow tease this out of cases that are existing, that's where we have problems. That's where we have machlokas. And in fact, as science has marched on, up until our case, which we haven't gotten to yet, obviously it becomes more and more difficult.